And now on Tucson Business Radio, let's find out how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise with your host, Karen Fisher.
Hello, and welcome to the last year of this year's broadcast of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast. I am Karen Fisher, your hostess. I am with Summit Funding, and we are broadcasting from the Tucson Business Radio X studio, which is situated in the Stewart Title corporate offices. They're really busy these days on Broadway right here in Tucson. I have two amazing guests with me today, and we are going to have a lot of fun. It's just, this is that crazy, busy, frantic time of the year, and this is a great time to do some grounding. So first and foremost, we have Paige Day, who is having a Karen sandwich today, because you've got Karen Fisher, me, and we've got Karen Russo here as well. But Paige and I have had the honor of being friends since 1994. And what was it, 94?
96.
Is that when they started? 96. That's right. Allie 96. Was only three. So it's since 1996. And we met when her oldest and our only were in kindergarten together at St. Michael's. And that was the year. So she decided that she was going to have a little host of a little holiday party for the families, which happened to be when the U of A. So that was the first. And then the U of A ended up, we had a game watch.
That's right.
And the game watch continued into... We're coming to your house, whether you want us or not, because that was the year that the U of A won
the national,
national championships. And so we got to be very, very close friends. And she's amazing. But on her professional side, her resume reads like a true who's who of this world. She has been a paramedic. She has been a fire captain, an assistant fire chief, a fire chief. She had an amazing... situation was written up all over the news where you delivered a baby at Raytheon.
Yes.
People don't even realize that Raytheon has, it's like a city within a city.
Right.
What does it, it's like 40,000 plus people that work at Raytheon, or something crazy like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's 16,000 is about the population of that plant.
Just the one.
Just the one.
Yes. Wow. So, and then they've got multiple within Tucson. So, but now you're officially retired as a fire chief, mm-hmm. which is, you know, such a woman's typical woman's role, right? Yes. But your new job is with Tucson is amazing as far as our technology and things like that. So it's Hydronalics. Am I pronouncing it correct?
That's correct. Hydronalics.
Yeah. I always want to try to name it everything else, hydropon, you know, whatever. But it is an amazing thing. We'll get into the details with that. But this is a game changer for the entire world, saving lives, both of our rescuers, our firefighters, police, military, as well as victims of drowning or any dangerous situations. And also, there's so much more that the actual product, patented product, does. And it's manufactured right here in Arizona.
Yes, that's
so
right.
It's pretty fun. So then, as far as our Karen sandwich, we've got Karen Russo, who I've had the honor of meeting through an international organization called eWomen Network. And your resume is just amazing, too. So first and foremost, she's been featured in a very well-known book called Think and Grow Rich for Women by the Napoleon Hill. That was actually, I think what the technology was or the wording was that it was not an endorse. That's not the correct word. What is it through the Napoleon Hill? How did they say that?
I would say sponsored, endorsed. They've been part of giving the authorization to take the core framework of the Napoleon Hill's work, and then having Sharon Lecter, who many people know is a great financial literacy advocate, and then she pulled together the women to create Think and Grow Rich for Women.
And if people don't know who Sharon Lecter is, she did a lot of work with Robert
Kiyosaki.
Help me with it.
Yeah, with Robert Kiyosaki. Yes, so she was part of that original Rich Dad work and family.
Rich dad, poor dad. Yeah. So it's really, really huge. So, well, we're just going to have some fun. So people think sometimes what, you know, healthy, wealthy, and wise, what does that encompass? And my passion for our radio show and our, which is podcasted. So feel free to forward it on and everything. But it starts with, because my superhero day job is I am a mortgage loan originator. And some people think, oh, that must be so boring. Oh my gosh, it could not be further from the truth. Because think of it this way. As a loan officer, I get all of the information and see everything that your mother told you were not allowed to ask, such as how much money do you have in the bank? How much do you earn? Oh, and by the way, what's your age? And not only do I ask those questions, you have to prove it to me. And with that, I see every walk of life, because what I do is really the pathway to someone's keys and can be the pathway to someone's financial future, things that people are doing. So with that, let's jump in and have some fun. So Paige, we're gonna, we don't, literally just popcorn. This is not, this is not round robin. It's just having a good time. So share with me some of the things that are happening, because it's huge. And very tragically, but very importantly, we had a big tragedy here in Arizona, in Tonto Basin, which ironically, we have friends. We've been there together with friends as far as the cabin. So we know that area very well, called Tonto Creek. And sadly, crossing a wash, the swift bottom line is there were three children that passed away, that died. But it took almost 2 weeks to find child number three. So, yes. But talk to us about, that's part of it, but talk to us about what you're doing and what a difference this has made in the world already.
Well, interestingly enough, Hydronautics is an Arizona-based company. And we, part of my job as a former fire chief and public safety professional was to come in and not only evaluate what people are doing as far as swift water rescue or search and recovery, but it's also taking that skill set and incorporating innovation and technology so it expands your platform and you're able to keep your rescuers safe until you can evaluate a situation where, like with swift water in Arizona, as you know, we don't have a lot of water, but when we have water, we have a lot of water.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you want to be able to keep your swift water technicians safe while you're trying to evaluate what's the best way to get help or aid to stranded motorists, to people who have been swept away or are stranded on top of their cars, like we see all the time on the news. The other element of this profession is the search and recovery part, which we have incorporated the Hummingbird technology, the sonar system, into the autonomous Emily platform. So we're able to get real-time information under the water, even in very dark water, like it, as we know, the floodwaters of Arizona, and be able to take a look and identify where people are or where they're not. So it's very, it's, and as you know, those of you who know about the Tonto Creek area, it's when there's a lot of water, a lot of flooding, there's a lot of area to cover.
Yeah.
So we were actually contacted by the Gila Sheriff's Department. We've worked with Department of Emergency Management trying to create a relationship with the search and rescue coordinators that we have these assets available in Arizona, because there hasn't been funding or budgets available for these departments to actually purchase these.
Why is that? That's an interesting thing.
It is very interesting. Public safety budgets, as you know, they're public. They have to be voted on, and they're also in competition with other things. So if you're talking about sheriff's departments, you talk about helicopters, personnel, you're talking about firearms, you're talking about other equipment, and it just seems that the priority gets... It's easy to bump down something like an Emily platform. However, when you need it, it's the most valuable thing that you could have.
Yeah.
So, well, and so plus when it's patented and it's new, it seems like the whole thing about getting a patent is that it's never been done before.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, so
and it's interesting in the state of Arizona, because the owner of the company went to University of Arizona, and he is
Wildcats.
He's on the engineering board, and so all of this naval technology that he's been able to create, which is basically drones for the water, is we're trying to really get it into the hands of first responders for the state of Arizona, because if we can model that and say, hey, look what we have in the state of Arizona, We can have it in the state of California, the state of New Mexico, Colorado, yeah. et cetera. So this need for this platform will accelerate, and we can do that. But, you know, unfortunately, it just takes some time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, about Gila County did contact us. So we took a team out and were able to rule out some areas for the first mission. We were called out again because we were working in tandem, if you will, with not only volunteers, the Border Patrol dive team, the Sheriff's Department, all of their canines, which they have, they're trained, their cadaver dogs, and they are able to help identify areas where there's interest or areas that there's no interest. So we had a high indication of this one area, and the Border Patrol divers, we were able to vector them in and to this area where we had a target that eventually did turn out to be Willa.
And so she was recovered,
thank God. And so we were a part of that. And this is the third time that the state of Arizona Sheriff's Departments have requested us. And it's the third time that the Emily was successful in identifying where the victim was.
You know, this is like a naive question, but is there a way to have that kind of equipment, that kind of asset available, but not have to have it owned by the governmental agency? Like, is there a way? I mean,
well, there are contractors available that could have it. And then they would obviously have to be on state funded contracts to be.
Okay.
Right now, we're volunteering our time because my partner is a retired Marine and he was a force recon. So has done everything all over the world. And then my public safety background, our hearts are in this.
Yeah.
And we know what happens in emergencies, and we know what brings families closure.
Yeah.
And that's being able to know where your child is, and being lost in something like that is indeed a tragedy.
Yeah.
So we volunteer our time, and our boss, the owner of the company, Anthony Mulligan, is foresighted enough that he wants to be that involved, especially in the state of Arizona.
Absolutely,
because that's where we're located, and that's where our roots are. And we know that we have a very diverse community, and we have very unique problems that we have solutions for with this technology.
And it is absolutely huge. And one of the fun things that we've done, and we've actually been on Roosevelt Lake, we came up there just to see how it was. And as far as the remote control, it's really, really cool. So with that, so, you know, if you think about what we're doing and then what's happening as far as within the industry and the number of jobs, this is Arizona jobs that's creating. So then we're going to segue. We got the Arizona jobs. And when you've got those jobs, and when we're starting to see women in some more non-traditional roles, which is definitely, Paige, you've always been a trendsetter, and people are, you know, so have I.
That's right.
That's one of the things. We live in a world where, you know, being a captain of a fire chief and doing the thing that's not a typical female role, and then also in the mortgage world, being a loan officer, the majority of the mortgage world is handled by women, but most of the time they're in operations, whereas the actual money piece is handled by sales.
Mm-hmm.
Sales are everything. And ironically, and so we want to talk about this a little bit, Karen, but ironically, if you think about it, women are really the best salespeople ever, and I'll tell you why. Because we are often in our jobs, our duties as being moms, try to navigate with a two-year-old about why they should go to bed, right? You know, we're the best at it. And yet there's something within society that says that we're, oh, you know, sales is bad, sales is negative. So let's talk about what you see as far as money, because you got a very different upbringing as far as the mindset around money, and then plus the fact that you are a reverend, you're an ordained minister, and there are a lot of people who have said that money is the root of all evil, very much misquoting scripture.
Yes.
So let's have a conversation about that. So
Well, and it kind of builds off of what Paige has laid out for us, is like how to think differently and creatively about just what the problems are that people face, but then also what are the solutions and what are the things that are important. And so, yes, my background, you know, I grew up in a kind of a classic ethnic middle class type home, and you know, my mom is the daughter of a Jewish school teacher and an Irish nurse. And so she became a teacher and her sister became a nurse. You know, it's like a very, and then my dad is a first generation Italian American. And he grew up on a farm and was the first to do any kind of schooling and college and all of that. But what was interesting is my dad also very intelligent, and he started buying individual stocks. He would go to the library and look at PE, you know, price earnings ratios on things back in the 1960s. And over the years, he was able to build a portfolio that got, you know, myself and my two brothers into all the college we could stand and beyond. And so I just saw modeled with my dad and my mom a teamwork around money and a kind of a ethics and teamwork and simpleness and positiveness around. They told us your job is school. And when, you know, you you work hard, we pay taxes, we go to the library, things are fair. And that simple, ethical, practical, productive, efficient approach to money was a really good foundation for me. And what's interesting is, you know, of course, we could do a whole other radio show on all of their family challenges and things, but that part yeah, was something that was good foundation. And then I had my own spiritual and personal challenges that led me to find a power greater than myself and move into a more spiritual and personal growth world. And it was about 15 years ago, I really said, how do those two things go together? How does spirituality and money and business, how do those things fit together? And that was how the work that I do in the world, the Money Keys, was born.
So talk to us a little bit about the Money Keys, because I know some of the behind the scenes. And we're also, we do want to let people know, we are going to be doing, we're hosting a joint workshop, which we really had fun with the, as far as with the dates. It's going to be on February the 12th. Am I right? Yeah.
January 31st?
January 31st. Is that what we decided? We've got the dates. We'll make sure. Yeah. It's January 31st. That's right. We're super excited because I feel strongly that if people had the information that was out there, that they're going to make different choices with their money. It's just a tool.
Yes. Well, and that's, so I'm excited too. So Karen and I are doing a Lead Your Money Breakthrough Tucson 2020, you know, and the challenge really is for a lot of people, and even people who are successful, either entrepreneurs or they have a professional career, that will still feel challenged by, how do I really thrive? How do I thrive financially? How do I make, keep, share, and circulate good money doing that? And so I'm excited to be in partnership about, you know, how to have people set up financial goals that are meaningful and to be able to be the confident and effective leaders of their money.
Yeah. So, and one of the things that happens with money, especially for, again, this goes for everybody, but one of the things that I know with money is when women are empowered with their money, they tend to, and it's been proven statistically throughout the world, they've even done some, there was a friend of mine that actually did microloans and how that improved the health of the community. Because the first things that natural moms do is they pour it back into their kids. Moms, much more so. And again, it's not to bash our men, which we love. It's just that statistically, you know, they've got the proof that when you've got women in control of that money, or they're earning their own money, let's say it's a microloan that, you know, you're raising chickens down in Nicaragua, the first thing that they do is they pour it back into their kids.
Yeah. I mean, that's, so it's just an interesting thing. And we'll go back to that, the money is the root of all evil, scriptural confusion. So we'll go back there for, don't worry, anyone. But I will just say there's so much that shows that for women and girls, when there's education and empowerment and simple economic freedom and agency, that societies do better, families do better. I mean, it's just, and it's interesting too, is that even in our more working world, business, entrepreneurial world, is when women feel more confident and more empowered about money, they make better decisions. They or when they apply for a mortgage, they're going to do it much more ethically and effectively. And if they're going to invest in a new technology company, or they're going to be advocates for government funding, like whatever they're doing, they're going to be more effective doing it.
Oh, that's interesting. And you know what? I can see that, because I see people doing that on a regular basis. Women right now, because they've had this situation where still, unfortunately, statistically, there's not a lot of women that are in the Fortune 500 as in that that role of being the president or the CEO. And so instead of just keeping trying to bump up against that proverbial glass ceiling, which some people will try to say that it doesn't exist, and I'm here to tell you it very much does. And so then you go, so what? What's your next step? So it's there, so what? And so the so what has morphed into women are starting their own businesses at a rate of almost 2 to 1 of what men are doing. So you still have some of the men doing their traditional jobs and traditional start here, work your way up, et cetera. Whereas that entrepreneurial spirit and that has leveled the playing field. That's what we really see happening, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
So as far as the fun thing, so let's talk about a little bit more, Paige, as far as, you know, we've talked about a little as far as with the Emily and things like that. But there's another thing that's happened, that you are a published author.
Yes.
And let's talk about a little bit about the book called Fading Scars.
All right. Well, in 2005, my husband, he was also... he's retired from the fire service as well. He was on his way to work and was in a critical motorcycle accident. Mm-hmm. And so after all of his injuries were stabilized, if you will, he was in ICU for quite a long time. And we had to have the whole journey of experiencing what happens after trauma that I was not privy to. I mean, I would drop people off at the hospital and, you know, high five, that was a great call. We got them in and then leave, but I never had to stay. So I had to experience that from a lived experience perspective. And it really changed the way that I dealt with emergency situations for the future, because again, we opened up the conversation with having closure for family and providing resources for what people need. And the reason why I know this and can internalize it and have pathos is because I lived it. Mm. So we did that journey. Mark sustained a moderate brain injury, traumatic brain injury, and me being a student and wanting to learn about brain injury, I was quick to find out that we know about severe brain trauma. And this was before the war, where people are coming back from being concussed and percussion injuries, that we know a lot more about brain injury now. But back in 2005, we did not.
Which was really not that long ago, if you think about it.
No. So we knew about severe brain injury, and we knew about mild brain injury, like concussions. We knew the moderate, the spectrum is so vast and broad, so different. So there was no resources really available for me to understand that what we were going through as a family and really hanging on by thin threads did not exist. So I took my experiences and was able to write a first hand narrative of our journey of recovery and redefining our normal with brain injury, because you're never the same person again. So the Mark I knew before, and that's his name, and the Mark after are different people. So you have to be able to be empowered and have the tools that you realize that it's not your crazy, it's just your crazy life that you have taken. And the research I had done, so many people, their families don't last through this, because it's very hard.
What the impact, so you've got Mark who had the physical injury, but the impact on the family.
It was everything I could do to hold. Three were home all the time. Yeah. And one, the oldest, was just starting high school, and we had middle school and elementary school. So it was very hard to understand. So it made our bond a lot stronger because I had to have the conversations that I've never had to have before regarding trust and expectations and the fact that we have to stick together through this or we will all fall apart. And so the kids they're adults now, obviously, but they've had this sense of responsibility that a lot of teenagers do not have.
And fast forward, you got to just brag on all three of them for a little while. Technically all four of them.
Well, our oldest, Cody, he is a Gwinnett County firefighter paramedic in Georgia. He has almost three children. His oldest, Sterling, was a plus one when he married his wife, Gabriella. And then we have a little girl, Brenna, who's 18 months today. Then the new baby, she will be here in March. Mariah is here.
And he served in the military. Yeah, he's a veteran.
Veteran. He was a cryptic linguist. He speaks fluent Arabic. He's brilliant and I'm very proud of him. So he served in the military. Mariah, she is here in Tucson. She's a vet tech. So she went to the University of Arizona and she is now working as a vet tech. She loves it. She loves animals. She's very enthusiastic about that. So we're proud
of her.
And
she's one of the most amazing filmmakers ever.
She did fine arts at the University of Arizona. But her passion is pets and animals.
And they just all show up to her. Yeah. It's like she's like this pet magnet.
Yeah,
really.
The animal whisperer. And then my other son, Taylor, he was in the Army as well. He met his wife while he was stationed in Alaska. He was airborne and he suffered an injury as well. And he ended his career with the Army. And he moved to Prescott, so he's going to be a pilot. He's in aeronautics, aviation.
On the GI Bill,
And they have a little girl. He and his wife, Amanda, have Peyton, and she's the cutest little thing, and she'll be here for Christmas. And my youngest daughter, Kelly, she just graduated from University of Mississippi in education, so she's going to be a high school teacher.
Wow.
And she does social studies, history. She can teach math, and she's an amazing young lady. I'm very proud of all of them. So I guess our talks and writing this book, Fading Scars, that's actually used by a lot of neuropsychologists in not only the Tucson area, but actually globally, because it's a resource for families to realize that you have to be able to have the strength to redefine what you thought was going to be your family and your path, because it's an imperfect world and sometimes horrible things happen to people.
Yeah.
And we just have to be able to look at that and spiritually address that and say, okay, what is the next step?
Yeah.
And as long as I'm either standing still or taking a little step forward, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah. What a beautiful thing. That's such a gift because for so many people to have someone else's experience, they're going to be able to be freed from the guilt or the shame or the confusion of thinking it's just them or that there's something wrong with what they're feeling. So that's a beautiful gift.
Well, and I have to say, Paige is also a very, very gifted writer. And so although it tackles a very, very serious subject, there are some parts in the book that I'm going to just tell our listeners that you need to go and get it on Amazon.
Yeah, Barnes and Noble.
And Barnes and Noble. But you will find there are some of the funniest things that have happened. Being able to order things online was a new skill for Mark. And at one point in time, you had multiple
knives.
Halloween knives. Yeah, he ordered a bunch of pocket knives, but
impulsivity is a real thing with traumatic brain injury. So,
more things. So there's a lot of humor. It tackles a very, very serious subject. But even if you're not experiencing that, I highly recommend. And again, Fading Scars is the name of the book. And we'll make sure we'll put on maybe on the broadcast or something like that, which would have a little bit of that. So. It's super important. So let's talk about your book.
Yes.
The Money Keys.
Yeah. So almost 12 years ago, something like that, is when I first published The Money Keys. And the original idea was this: how does spirituality and money go together? And so I went ahead and really took a look at the challenges that people face about money most of the time.
So what are some of the things that popped up with a lot of people that you know? What pops up for them?
You know, most of the time I would say, like, when people are upset about money, it's usually fear about having enough or anger and resentment about what we've had or didn't have, or overwhelm with dealing with it. And those are symptomatic of, in many ways, really existential spiritual questions. You know, fear about money, people will say, well, if I just had a million, then I'd be secure and I'd be safe and I'd be free of fear. But there's a lot of research that says if you ask a millionaire, how much do you need to feel safe and secure? They'll say 2 million. And if people have 2 million, they'll say 5, and, you know, on and on. So there's one of the big ideas was you can't be financially secure unless you're spiritually secure. So a little bit like what Paige said about life is uncertain. Good things can happen. Bad things can happen. If people can find a sense of spiritual security, then they can be comfortable with the ups and downs of money and actually better at managing it, investing it, and making it.
Well, one of the things that you shared with that when you spoke for the Tucson chapter of eWomen Network, which I loved. So let's talk about your schedule during the week.
Yeah.
So what happens on Mondays and what happens on Fridays? Let's share that. It was so good. It was so yummy.
So, you know, a good tip for how to stay successful with money is that money loves rhythm. So there's something about being in a regular rhythm with money that makes you able to be focused and clear and receptive and grateful. So I created a technology called Money Monday and Faithful Friday. So Money Monday is when you get all of your focus and clarity about money. So on Mondays, I recommend for business people, for people who are managing family finances, on Mondays, you get clear about your purpose for your business and your work. You look at your money in terms of your money management, whether you're looking at sales reports or downloading QuickBooks or looking at the family finances. You do all your money transactions and you set your goals for the week. And this is the piece around the thing you said earlier, Karen, about sales and the capacity to be like a really good entrepreneur usually means you're comfortable with the idea of having sales goals and taking the actions to move them forward, whether you're the person who directly does the sales or not. So on Mondays, you know, and Mondays is also your day for giving. So you give attention. And also if you're a financial giver or a tither, you've either done it on the weekend at your place of worship, or you do your charitable or financial giving on Mondays. So imagine if you did all that on Mondays, what would you have? What would you get?
I love that. And then the cycle.
Yeah. Yes, so on Mondays, you do all that stuff. You're clear. You're focused for the week. And then on Fridays, it's time to receive. So on Faithful Friday, you look back over your week and you look for all the ways you were sourced and supported. So this is the connection to higher power, divine, something greater, God. But you look back over the week and say, How was I supported during the week? How did I, you know, what am I grateful for? What am I appreciative of? And then you also on Faithful Friday, look at your money results. So if I went to 3 networking events and I met 5 people, 2 of them became clients, I'm going to be grateful and appreciative of the results that have happened during the week. And so what happens for people on Fridays is there's all this sense of gratitude, appreciation, satisfaction. Because here's the thing, we can't really have more than we are willing to experience. So if people can't experience gratitude and appreciation at 100 grand a year, it's like you won't be able to do it at 250. Like if you can't have the capacity to appreciate, and this goes for love or health or peace of mind or any other quality, like we can't get things outside of us to give us something that we aren't willing to experience.
Well, and part of that willing to experience, this is one of the things, because over the years that I have learned and the most successful people that I have seen, they also, when it comes to money, they don't, like, it's one thing to give like an introductory to say, okay, here's a free coaching call, introductory coaching call type of thing. But it's quite another thing to say, oh, it's nothing, don't worry about it, and then not having that healthy exchange of money. One of the things that my husband and I have done, and this really dates back to us being, you know, working our way through college by waitressing, bartending, et cetera, we are very big tippers, very big tippers, okay? And as a consequence, when all of a sudden you've given a tip to somebody that is maybe a dollar or maybe $5 more than what was expected, or then would we be 15% or 18%, when you give that more, like I really tip big for breakfast people because they do all the work that dinner people do, but they got the breakfast total, right? You know, it's so gratifying to watch it just change their day. They'll look at it and you can tell all of a sudden they're like, wow. So that's just a little thing.
Yeah.
Just a little thing, you know, and really being thankful that somebody else is running around and serving you.
Yeah.
That's an example.
You know, and you're bringing up reciprocity, which is in many ways, like also what Paige is doing with the work that you're doing in the world. Reciprocity is the natural flow of giving and receiving. And anything that's healthy, whether it's a relationship or a healthy business or, a body or a system, it has natural vitality and reciprocity. And so that's what feels so good and it's really interesting too, it feels better for a business to have good, healthy boundaries and say, you know, our clients, these are our full rates when we offer this to excellent clients. But when someone says, I'm going to overgive to you, you can tell you're like, that's not really smart business for them. And it doesn't feel good to you.
It doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right. So reciprocity is a really profound principle.
That is huge. And we've all experienced that. I mean, we experience it within our relationship. So as people are finishing up their last minute shopping and doing the things, one of the things that I just want to do, and this is a healthy, wealthy, and wise tip, be gracious to your retail people.
Yeah.
Be gracious to other people that are on the road, because for some people, the holidays are not a good time for them. They, with your role as being a reverend, I'm sure that you do a lot of counseling, and there's some people that the holidays are very, very difficult for some.
Yes. Well, just the whole, and this has been a theme for us too, is just the whole thing of the contrast between expectations of what we think life, family, health, what's happening with our government and our politics, like our expectations of what we think things will be, and then what's factual for people can sometimes be very painful. And, you know, there's something, too, that's important to say about the spiritual nature of the holy days season. So including the Christian celebrations of Christmas, but also Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or many of the solstice or other celebrations that happen during this time of year are often about the darkness and then the emergence of light. And so darkness is a part of the human condition. And darkness doesn't always mean badness or sadness, but not knowing, uncertainty, the going within, the void. And it's out of that that the light comes. So there's just something that's, if we go a little deeper to what's happening for many different people and many different faith traditions and just energetically in our world, is that there's more complexity sometimes than just it is the holidays. Where is my peppermint mocha? I should be happy.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of complex layers with that too. Because when you start peeling away the proverbial layers of the onion, you don't know what is going to be next. And you brought up an interesting point about darkness and light. I think there's a lot of, well, why me? Why would this happen to me? And the whole thing is we're given this beautiful life. But just like with everything, with good comes bad, and it's how you are able to internalize it and figure out how that becomes part of me and the person that I'm going to become and the journey that I'm on. Because there's a lot of times where you're like, okay, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And life is not fair. But underneath it all, if you can find a place to put it, it makes you stronger.
Yeah.
And it makes your light within shine through that darkness.
And I know from a personal standpoint, if I hadn't gone through some of the things, you know, there's a little bit of a history with my husband and I as far as our families. You know, we both were part of early divorces, like right when I was just starting high school. Scott was just starting high school and had just come out of a near fatal motorcycle accident. And so we grew up the way that it happens is we happen to have personally grown up very, very fast. Looking back, it was not easy. Like there's actually pictures of me when I was like a junior in high school where I ended up I was bounced back and forth between my mom and my dad, and then ended up living with an aunt and uncle in Texas. And I promise you, even though I just turned 60 this year, I look back at those pictures. I look older then than I did now. And I consciously, this is a big thing, and I don't think this would have happened to me had I not gone through that experience, because I was just so like, what does all this mean? I personally do not think that I would be the person that I am today, empowering it forward to help other people.
Yeah.
If I hadn't gone through that, and I remember consciously walking into a brand new high school, keep in mind, I'd gone to school with the same kids since preschool, literally walking into that high school in Texas at Sam Rayburn High and thinking, whatever is to be is up to me. These people don't know me. It's up to me. And they don't know that in the third grade, I had the world's thickest glasses and was blind as a bat and Coke bottle. They don't know anything about me. And so I realized at a very young age, I was gifted to be, I just barely turned 16 when I started. And to think that I got that message loud and clear that I can create the life that I want. Now, are there some other patterns that are there? Yeah, we've talked about many. You follow oftentimes what your parents teach you as you were taught.
Yeah.
I was also taught about the arguments about money because looking back on it, I mean, I can remember, this is the many piece I can actually remember, when my dad would bring out the infamous bill box, my brother and I would head for the hills.
Wow.
Because that bill box meant arguments. It had nothing to do with reality. But, you know, and then looking back on it, it was like, oh, you know, I know the reasons why. And my mom's passed away. But at the same time, I look back on it. And so you can't change that programming. You just have to make the new program a little bit louder because it's still pieces of it that are there.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that I'm so glad you brought that up. If you think about, I think it's a helpful thing for people to reflect on, and holiday time tends to be when it gets exacerbated. But often we are just running around either reproducing or rebelling against the modeling of our past when it comes to money or comes to our spiritual attitudes or other things. And so,
well, also relationships, and right?
Oh, that it shows up totally shows up in relationships. So just the self-awareness to be aware, it's like, oh, that's what I saw modeled. It's really powerful then to be able to change. Like awareness is a first step.
So, well, once again, as far as our listeners, I want to just let you know that I am Karen Fisher with Summit Funding, your hostess of the monthly podcasted show, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. We broadcast live from the Tucson Business Radio X studio, which is actually located in the Stewart Title corporate office. Stewart Title is an amazing title company. I just need to let you know, Title and Escrow. That's right here on Broadway in Tucson. And then what I want to do next in our next part of the show is let's really give some nuggets. Like what do you wish that people, like, where do you begin? So I know one of the things as far as with Paige, let's talk about some of the safety things that people should do. I mean, you could go off a whole list, but I know, like, let's start with maybe people should check their smoke detectors right now. Let's start there, and maybe don't cross washes. And
yeah. Well, we always suggest in the fire service to give your smoke detector a birthday. And that's when you, whatever day you want it to be, change your batteries on that birthday. So obviously we're bringing trees into our house at this time of year, which is a wonderful tradition. Smells great, but they're also extremely flammable, especially in the dry desert air. So make sure your tree, if you do choose to have a live tree, is watered. Make sure that it's not near any, that if you're using lights on your tree, even the LED lights, make sure you unplug them at night, unplug them when you leave the house.
Just turn them off, unplug them.
Yeah, unplug them. You want to make sure you do that because they're very flammable. Other safety tips, of course, we're baking a lot. We have a lot of company coming into our homes. Just make sure you take the time, turn your oven off. Take the time, check your burners, make sure that there's nothing on there. Kitchen fires are very prevalent this time of year. If you're going to deep fry a turkey, don't do it under your patio cover.
Oh,
make sure you have it out.
Is that
away.
From experience? Not yeah. your personal experience, but
well,
rescues
yeah, we,
that
we
you've
definitely
gone on.
Have been on several fires that have ignited patio covers. So just be careful about things. Just take the time. I think what happens this time of year is we're in a rush and we're not truly experiencing the beauty of the season. Take time. Think about your safety, not only for you, but your family. Other people, don't be distracted when you're driving. Put your cell phones
on
silent.
Put your cell phone down.
Because that causes a lot of wrecks. And let me tell you this, you're not going to have a Merry Christmas if your loved ones or you is injured in an accident. So we don't have water really running this time of year. But
we do have swimming pools and the
we
little
do.
Ones.
When you have a lot of kids over, make sure the gates are closed. Make sure your doors are locked if you don't have that. Make sure the safety elements are in place. Or have a water watcher outside. I mean, our weather sometimes is nice enough that people can go swimming or jacuzziing. So make sure if you have little ones around that someone is the designated water watcher.
Oh, I like that term, designated water watcher.
That's good. And the designated water watcher cannot sip on cocktails. They need to be water watching and make sure that
they're drinking water.
Exactly, exactly. So just be safe this time of year because we want to make sure that you go home to your families.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Karen, I've got
some wise things. Well, I'll build on the theme of the more aware we are, ultimately, the safer, the more present, the more grateful, healthier, like all the things that your show is about, wisdom and health and wholeness and wealth, happen in the present moment. So awareness is a really positive way to start. And I would say there's a lot of research that shows most families in the United States and North America will go into somewhere between $500 to $1,200 worth of debt for holiday presents and end up having that in January. And is that necessary? Is a great question. Where could this be shifted? How could we have happy related relationships with others and have it not be inducing debt? Like just it's a reasonable question to ask. And then I would say for most folks, the more facts you're in touch with about what's happening with your money, the better off you'll do. If you're a business owner, the end of the year is a great time to gather facts about what your expenses have been, look at what your sales and receipts have been, set goals for January. Like the workshop that we're going to do is
the workshop. And I want to get clear on the dates. It's January the 31st. Is the date that we'll be doing. And it's a live workshop.
Yeah.
And it's so we'll post as far as the details, but it is this is something that we're just touching on the, but we can do that deep dive and to really help, because think about this, if the more that we help people with money, the more that we help them as far as that information. And the one thing I love about money is that it is the same. Compound interest works the same for everybody. And it works positively for the money that you're growing. It also works negatively for the debt that you might be incurring. I also think it's super important when I see people, just in terms of understanding the algorithm of what impacts your credit score. I've shared with people right now the one big wisdom tip that I tell people right now, really take the time to open up your statements. Whether you have chosen to get them paper or electronically, it doesn't matter. Please look at your statements, because this is, unfortunately, there's some bad actors and there's a lot of identity theft going on. One of the things that I can share with all of our listeners is that 100%, not even less than 100% of all the credit reports that I see have errors in them. The question is, are those errors so significant that it's either going to stop me from being able, you know, it might be buying a house, it might be getting a car, or it may even be where, and a lot of people don't realize this, that the credit card companies, when you get that little thin onion skin paper in the mail that tells you about their rules and things like that, do you know that the credit card companies have the right to raise your interest rate even if you've never been late to them? Mm-hmm. For any reason. So you want to take a look and see it. Like we see people, their identities being stolen all the time. A couple of indications are your names being slightly switched or the address being slightly off. So you're welcome to call me again, Karen Fisher at Summit Funding. I'm happy to do a credit review for you. So you've got your credit report. It's also, there's something else that's happening that's really interesting within Tucson. We're number two. We are number two in the entire nation for appreciation of property values. Yes, ma'am.
Really?
Number two. Part of that is, and this is part with your company, but what has been happening, jobs are what fuels a healthy housing market and the growth. And because of what we've done through the Tucson Regional Economic Opportunity, specifically with your company, that was through the incubator.
Yeah, the Arizona Corporation Commission is very involved with our company.
It's huge. And then we've ended up with Amazon. We have the port of Tucson. People's like, you don't have water, but we do have an international port. People don't realize that that is one of the main reasons why Amazon built this. It is the most gargantuan facility. If you ever are flying over Tucson, it's like, what is that? It's Amazon. It's huge. And that's because of the port of Tucson. So because of all of that healthy growth, we've got the military. We've got both the Davis-Monthan Air Force Base as well as the Air National Guard. Not too far from here, we've got Fort Huachuca. My gosh, we've got wineries. Just 45 minutes from here, we've got some of the best wines right now. It's a soil in Southern Arizona is very similar to Sonoma Valley. And so we've got, I think there's now 16 wineries down there.
I think
there
there's even more than that.
There's more now?
Yeah,
it's just amazing. So with that, it's a great time for people to, you should really do a mortgage review. This is a great time to do some reflection. So keeping as far as safety. So we're wrapping up right now. Can you believe the hour's over? It always goes so fast. But yeah. I would love to have either, well, one of my fun things I always like to ask, what is your favorite color? So I'll start with Paige. What's your favorite color?
Green, I would say.
Green?
Yeah.
Just like Allie, yes. Yeah. How about you, Karen?
I'll go blue.
Blue. So my favorite color is blue also. And then what is one thought that you would just want to leave our listeners with as we go into the next few days and maybe go into 2020? Think about this. We're the last week of this decade. Mm. I just remember when Prince's song came out, Party Like It's 1999. Like, what happened to the past 20? How did that happen? How did this go?
Wow, there's so much. I think stop, take your time, take a breath, and realize that Christmas is about the love that you have inside this season, and just no two people are the same. So, and it's okay.
I love that. It's okay.
Hmm. And you know, what I'll say is if you have any area of your life, whether it's friendships or your faith or your family or the passion you have for what you're doing in your work, if you have any area of your life where you feel abundant and effective, you can do that with your money. So just know that money is an area that you can grow in.
I just love that. And then for me personally, I just want to share with people that we are incredibly blessed. Yeah. We're incredibly blessed. You know, we think about this. We live in the United States. We have private property rights. Do you realize that the majority of the world, you don't get to own your own home? And in some places in the world, you don't even get to choose where you live. I've had the honor of working with a lot of our refugee population that have come from some just unimaginable horrors. And one of my clients shared with me, and I thought this was super impactful. He had shared with me, he'd had my husband and I over to their house for dinner. And Scott asked him, what's the difference between here and then where he came from, which was Iraq? And he shared with us, you realize that nobody can make me move. Mm. The only reason I would have to move from my home that we have chosen would be if I didn't make my house payments. Other than that, no one can make me move. And think about that. I mean, we take some of the things, and then I'll just wrap it up with saying, just in terms of gratitude, just having that deep sense of gratitude, because just as this Paige and Mark had experienced through Mark's accident, sometimes you kind of take it for granted the fact that maybe you can put one foot in front of the other. You take it for granted that, you know, you're going to be on the road and that you're going to come home safely. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mark was, you know, he was a training captain.
Yes.
So in terms of anybody to be safe, Mark was, well, I mean, let's face it, Mark was Mr. Safety, right? Yeah, So without any further ado, I just want to encourage our listeners to please share the information. You can absolutely get additional information from both Karen Russo, Paige Day, and from me. Our contact information will be up on the website. Please feel free to forward this podcast and share with your listeners and other listeners, anybody that you know can help for getting a little healthier, wealthier, and wiser, especially as we go into 2020.